Welcome to NextGen Mentoring Forum. The NextGen Mentoring Forum series is to empower, educate, and illuminate individuals who are in or interested in the financial planning profession. At each forum, an expert will discuss the topic in the field of financial planning with the purpose of inspiring critical thought and discussion. In today's session, I have the honor to interview Sarah Williams on the topic of sell with emotion through social media. My name is Dr. Jolly Jen. I am an assistant professor and director of financial planning program at California Lutheran University. I am a certified financial planner practitioner and maintain an active financial planning practice specializing in succession program management. I've authored 3 award-winning books. I am very honored today to have Sarah E. Williams joining us. Sarah is a vice president of marketing and communication at Creative One. With almost 20 years of experience in sales, marketing, advertising, and public relations, Sarah leads the company's outreach efforts, showing financial advisors and independent insurance agents exactly what they can accomplish through branding, lead generation, and social media. She has helped hundreds of producers expand their businesses, showing them how to grow revenue while positioning them as the industry thought leader since joining Creative One. As Creative One Chief Ambassador, Sarah communicates how marketing and practice management can help agents and advisors expand their practices. She leads the education channel, recruiting prospective agents and advisors who wants to join Creative One. Her knowledge of marketing, combined with her embodiment of Creative One's philosophy, make her a formidable leader in the ever-changing industry. Well, welcome, Sarah. I'm so happy to have you with us today. Just to let everyone know that Sarah and I both serve on the Women in Insurance and Financial Services National Board. She is a lot of fun to be with. So Sarah, before we get into the main topic of today, can you tell us where you grew up and how do you become interested in the financial services industry?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jolly. I appreciate you having me here today. I'm very honored to be part of this session. I've been following it for some time, so I am so glad that you selected me to talk a little bit more about social media. And hearing my own bio is so weird. When people talk about you, it's like, oh yeah, I did that. I do remember that. Yeah, good, go, Sarah. But yeah, thank you again for having me today, everybody. My name is Sarah Williams. I'm the Vice President of Marketing Communications at Creative One. Where did I grow up? Well, I actually grew up in Wichita, Kansas. We are technically the air capital of the United States. And it's a small little, not small really, a medium-sized town right in the middle of Kansas. And there are more than just cows and fields, believe it or not, in Kansas. And so the question Jolly asked me in regards to how did I get started in this business? I think really it was divine intervention. I went to school at the University of Kansas, Rockshock Jayhawk, go KU. And I studied marketing and communication and advertising. And I think it was just my calling. It was where I was supposed to be. And I've been through a couple of different industries, but for some reason I keep going back to insurance and financial services. So I just kind of landed in this spot, Jolly, by accident, but I will tell you that it's probably the best spot that I can be in with inside personal and professional career.
And speaking of Kansas, I've been there several times and I can tell you that there are so many important companies in Kansas that people don't necessarily know about. So for those of you who haven't been to Kansas, highly recommended you to go there. One of the things that in your bio you mentioned about the Creative One philosophy, would you mind to share with us what is that is creating this incredible draw to agents and advisors joining your firm?
Yeah, so Creative One is technically an annuity and life insurance wholesaler. So we work with independent advisors to help them with their product side, which is whether it's an annuity or a life insurance product. But where I come in and my specialty is the marketing side. So I work with independent advisors and the agents to help really grow their business, whether it's the website, their branding, awareness, credibility, social media, websites. I said that already. Back to anything from the marketing side, because that's really typically when I have an independent advisor, that's where they need the most help. We always have the product side, which most independent marketing organizations have, but really where I hang my hat is the marketing side. And that's really what I enjoy. And Jolly and I have got to know each other pretty well because of kind of the social media things that we share in common and the importance of your brand and your credibility from social media. So I'm very happy to talk about that topic today.
And I can't stress enough that when I remember when I first started out, marketing is such a foreign language to me, you know, for those of us who are technically sound, but just terrible in marketing and sales in general. And I couldn't help it to notice that in today's environment is much more noisy out there because just the social media platform alone is so much. And people can tell you all day long what you should do on social media, but I'm sure that there are some specific strategy in terms of marketing. I remember one of my friends was telling me that, hey, you should go on Clubhouse. And I'm just like, okay, I can barely manage LinkedIn. I understand the benefits of all these other social media platforms. So before we get too far out, help us understand, other than the target market that you want to reach, what would be the best platform for someone who is financial advisor, financial planning practitioners? What would be the best platform for them to consider in terms of lead generations, as well as perhaps get, you know, conversion going on in the social media? So share with us, what is your experience there?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you actually kind of talked about it at the very beginning when you look at your target market, okay? So when we look at the target market, you have to decide, are you going towards that millennial or are you going towards that baby boomer? Because that's really going to determine really what the best social media platform is. And as a marketing person, my favorite answer is always going to be depends. And it depends because it depends on several different things. The target market, where you're at, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. Are you trying to get leads like Jolly said, or are you trying to do branding and awareness? So out of the five things that you see right now, I would automatically kick off almost three of those, believe it or not, two to three for sure. And you're probably guessing to yourself, okay, what's she going to say? So this is me personally, from when I work with my financial advisors and my independent insurance agents, I am really getting them to focus on two things. Number one, Facebook. And I will tell you that Facebook is probably the most important platform for them because of who the people that are on there. Facebook in the beginning used to be all about the younger kids, right? It was the only social media platform there was. So everybody kind of gravitated towards it. Now there have been more social media platforms come into play, like the Instagrams of the world, the Snapchats, the TikToks, the Jolly mentioned it, the Clubhouses, right? But when you look overall, and I've got some statistics because I'm kind of a nerd and I like when people throw out stats, 69% of adults in the United States use Facebook, 69%. Okay, that is a huge number. So when you're looking to either do lead generation with someone or to do just the marketing or branding of those boomers, that is where you want to be. Okay, that is where you're going to do a couple different things. You're going to do what I call social proof. Okay, you have to social proof yourself. Because when somebody's out there researching and looking for you, one of the first things that they're going to do is Google you. Okay. So now if you have really good search engine optimization, your website's going to show up high. But believe it or not, Facebook and LinkedIn are a type of search engine because you can go out in Facebook and go out in LinkedIn and look at someone. Okay. So when we're looking at the Facebook side, that's where the people that are older, the 55 plus people are hanging out. They're out there looking at their friends from high school, from college, their grandchildren, their recipes that their neighbors are sharing. That is really where your target audience will be from the Facebook side, okay? And when I think about Facebook, I think of it as an opportunity for you to do two things, like I mentioned, the branding and the awareness and the lead generation. So the branding and awareness, I want to break it down, Jolly, in a couple different ideas. And when I look at it, I want to look at it from a content stance. And you've heard the whole 80-20 rule, right? 80% of this and 20% of this. Well, how does that really fit into Facebook? When you're looking at content, I want you to write this down if this is something that you're interested in, Facebook. 80% of that content should be what I call lifestyle or personal content. Okay. Now, Jolie, to you and I, maybe that's, you know, us participating in Women in Insurance and Financial Services on the national board. That is still personal content that might be related to the professional side. But when I look at it from a content side, that's the things that people really want to see and to listen to, is they want to know what you're doing, because people do business with people they like and they trust. Now, where does that other 20% come in? That is what I call more of the professional side. So let's just say, for example, the cost of living adjustment in 2022 went up to 6.2. To me, that's kind of what I call the evergreen content, right? It's important content, but it's probably not going to get as much likes and as much impressions as the personal side of it. Because people want to know, Jolie, where did you go on vacation? What have you been up to? What's your family doing? You know, what makes you a human being? And that is what people are tied to, is that personal side. So
okay, before you go too far, yeah. The things that you're talking about, I am so thrilled that you're saying this, because every single mistake that I made, you just mentioned it.
I'm teaching you. This is very embarrassing.
I personally use Facebook only for family and friends. Therefore, I am not active in Facebook at all. Okay. So now that's my mistake, number one. Number two, you mentioned about 80% of the content should be lifestyle, personal things. I did notice that if I post a vacation picture or restaurant picture, I got a lot of likes. And you are right. If I post something like evergreen content, nobody cares about that. So all these mistakes that I made in the past. So thank you so much for clarifying that for
us. But Jolie, be thinking about this, because there's two sides of Facebook. And I just want to clarify this. There's that personal side that you don't have to share all that, but then there's the business side of Facebook. Okay. So it's necessarily on the personal side that you need to have the 80-20 content. It's on that business side that you want that. Okay. So I just wanted to clarify for that for you. So the other one I'm going to talk about also is LinkedIn. So let's talk about the difference between Facebook and LinkedIn. So Facebook is what I kind of call the warm and fuzzy side, right? The pictures and, you know, the lifestyle. When I get over to LinkedIn, I call it more of a professional networking opportunity. So this is where typically it is what they say, a white collar per se. Okay. So another statistic, 49% of US adults making over $75,000 a year used LinkedIn. 49% of US adults making over $75,000 a year use LinkedIn. This is the professional networking side. And believe it or not, in the last several years, it has kind of transitioned a little bit over to what I call the lifestyle side. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, because it used to be, don't show pictures of your family, don't show pictures of, you know, your children, because it has nothing to do with work. And as you can imagine, in the COVID environment that we've been in for the last, you know, 18 months plus, our lives have kind of intertwined, right? Our personal lives have mixed in with our professional lives like no other, right? With inside the history of you know, us being around. So people are more, I'd say they allow more grace. You know, like when I'm doing webinars and my children are running back and forth, they're like, oh, hey, buddy, hey, you know, what's going on? In the past, I always felt like it was shunned upon that, oh my gosh, you have children and they're in your room. You know, it's like that one reporter that was on CNN and his kid comes whirling in the background and the mom's trying to pull him out, right? It's actually more socially acceptable now, because that shows the human side of you. Okay, so let's get back to LinkedIn. So again, it goes back to that 80-20 content, okay? 80% should be part of that lifestyle, but when I'm looking at it, I want it to be keyword heavy, keyword rich heavy. Okay. So what does that mean? So keywords that someone like an independent advisor or a financial professional might use is, you know, what you do, whether it's wealth management, life insurance, REITs, stocks, bonds, trading, whatever that is, because that will help you again with search engine optimization. So use your keywords at the very beginning. I'm a huge fan to put actually what you do instead of using what I call unclear headlines, like helping you plan for a successful future. That really doesn't tell me enough, because helping me plan for a successful future could be a college professor. It could be someone, you know, maybe a lifestyle coach or a wellness coach. But if you say, you know, managing your wealth or whatever that might be, make it strong and make it so people understand exactly what you're doing. Okay. Jolly, how am I doing on time? Can I keep going on with LinkedIn or do we need
Yes, you can keep going. And I'm just thinking about, oh my God, you just say something that I don't do. I don't do keywords and I'm not very good in the titles. And one of the things that triggers me was when I first started in the industry, I actually hired a marketing coach working with me. And he said exactly the same thing as you do. But I come to a point that I'd rather pay people to do that today because I just don't have that expertise and I don't want to mess around with it. So yes, please keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I like that. That's a good transition for me talking about adding that content. So listen, it's okay for you to pay someone else to do some of that content because believe it or not, your job is being a financial advisor and working with your clients. There is many different platforms, many different avenues from a strategic stance of vendors that can post content for you. Again, that's what I go back and call the evergreen content, the cost of living. If the RMDs change to 72 and a half, the Social Security normal retirement age, whatever that is, you still need that content because there are people part of your network that might not know everything about what you and I talk about, you know, constantly. Because they might pick up some tips on that about maybe it's a variable life insurance policy or, you know, where to put money based on this or estate planning or whatever that might be. Those are still good tidbits that they need. So it's okay to pay someone to do that. Just please, please, please don't neglect that personal / lifestyle side because consumers are smart. They can see that someone's probably posting that for you. But what they like to see in there is some of that other things that personal side, that what you're doing, you know, that you are part of an association or your community involvement or nonprofits or, you know, whatever that might be, whatever tells your story. Because someone said this to me the other day and I wrote it down and I really like it. Facts sell, stories tell. So again, facts sell, stories tell. You need a combination of both. And that's really what is the most important part of social media. I will tell you that if you're not going to go in 100% on doing social media, people are going to say, oh, well, it looks like they haven't done anything on their social media accounts since 2016. What's going on? It's almost better not to have a social media account if you're not keeping up on it. And I do want to mention, you might ask me, how many times a week should I post? So let's talk about that. Facebook, 2 to 5 times a week. LinkedIn, 1 to 3 times a week is best practices. Okay. So again, it really kind of depends on you. If you can't do this yourself, delegate it to someone else with inside your office. Hire a teenager, hire somebody in college that has some background in social media, i.e. all of them, because that's all they do. All they do is sit there on their phones, right? So hire them, pay them 10 bucks an hour. Now, this is perfect do's and don'ts for social media and compliance. Compliance, right?
Okay, can before you go there, let me just plug in something really important. And that is that the point that you mentioned about if you don't have time to do this number of times per week, depending upon the platforms, hire someone to do. I always encourage advisors, planners, to consider hiring interns from universities. Mm-hmm. They know what to do with these. You need to train them well in terms of what is evergreen compliance items and what is not evergreen compliance items. But please, I really encourage people to hire interns. That is a reason that we as a profession continue to train the next generation, bring them into the business so they understand what is the business is all about. So, all right, keep going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that intern thing because that's where, believe it or not, sometimes the interns can teach us more about what they're doing than vice versa, right? I mean, there can be that give and take from the intern side. So I love it. So let's talk about the do's and don'ts in social media to be evergreen compliant. Okay, so I'm not an attorney. I do not play attorney on television. I do not do any of this. Always check with your broker dealers, your IRAs, whoever that main compliance persons is, and check out their rules. Typically, they will have written rules, whether it needs to be reviewed with SMARSH or something very similar to that, because there are new systems out there, and I say new within the last 10 years, that track every single piece of social media. All right. So when we come to compliance, I'll give you kind of the best practices. But again, I want to go back and check with your people. When it comes to saying happy birthday or happy anniversary, or hey, check this out, we got a new sign on the front of our building, or we're having a luncheon today. Typically, those do not have to be approved by compliance. Again, caveat, double check to make sure. But the ones that are talking more about products, that are talking more in the weeds about what you're doing, those are the ones that are typically going to have to be run by compliance. Okay. So, you know, each BD is different. Each RA is different about sharing content. It's not always a bad idea to have your own content that you post, but sharing content is good as well. You want to make sure that the source that it comes from is reputable, right? Wikipedia, not a reputable source. Don't share anything from them. But if you see something out there in a larger publication that has that reputation, it's okay to share that, because that will help you with your thought leadership and help you with your credibility from that stance.
So questions about sharing content. So let's say that if you saw a piece of content, let's say just a few days ago, Social Security Trust Fund is going to run out in 2033. That's a big, good piece of content to share.
Yep.
How would you recommend advisors or planners to insert their opinion? Because obviously, you know, I have something to say about 2033. Yep. Either, hey, save more now, or something else. So what is kind of the best practice in regarding about when you share a piece of good evergreen content, how much of your personal opinion should be expressed?
So I believe a lot, because that is your position that you're in, Jolly. You are in that position because you have been trained and educated on that. Now, you want it to be thought-provoking, right? You want them to think, oh my gosh, okay, I need to maybe do something about it. And that's where, when you share that content, don't just share that link and post it. You want to put your personal opinion inside there, because that helps also with search engine optimization. LinkedIn does not like it when you just share the post. It likes it when it says something inside of it. Okay. And you're tagging people and you're using hashtags. So that is important, because you want to, what I call interrupt their status quo, for them to be like, holy cow, wait, 2034. Okay. How old are my kids or my grandkids or whatever that might be, that could justify maybe a phone call to you, or maybe there's some information that you can share with them, right? It's not just sharing that content. It's interrupting their status quo. So great question on that.
Thank you. And I'm glad that you kind of explained the reason behind that personal touch of that particular content, because oftentimes I have to admit that I'm too lazy, but I think this is a good article and I just throw it out there, and that didn't help me either. So I'm glad you mentioned, be purposeful of posting or sharing something and create some keywords and your opinions in there, because it is still under that search engine that you mentioned earlier.
Yep, you got it, absolutely.
So, ultimately, we could be all very nice and social on the social media platform. At the end of the days, we like to know, how do we actually get some leads? So can you share with us, what are some of the emotional triggers? You mentioned keywords before. You mentioned personal lifestyle, personal situation. Share with us, what is some best practices?
Yeah, so I'm looking at all